Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah. Will you please lift up your hands unto the Lord and just speak to Him for a few minutes? What I want you to do is simple. I want you to commit yourself into His hands and invite the Holy Spirit to come upon you mightily and to empower you and help you and equip you so that everything that God has planned for you today and what He has for you, you will not miss it, but you receive everything in the name of Jesus. Speak to the Lord now. Speak to the Lord. Speak to the Lord right now. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to take over. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to be in charge, to be upon us, to brood over us, wherever we are. We recognize our need for you. We recognize that without you, we can do nothing. We recognize, oh God, that when we come like this into your presence, you equip us, you empower us, you strengthen us, you rebuke us, you instruct us. Today, let your word do anything that you have purposed for it to do in our lives, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for everyone here. I thank you for everyone listening, everyone watching. We bless your name, Lord. Reign amongst us, Jesus, today. Reign amongst us in the name of Jesus. We crown you King. We crown you Lord in our midst today. Take your place, Lord. Take your place, Lord. Take your place, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Be exalted. Be exalted. Be exalted, Lord, here today. We thank you. Reign, Jesus, reign. Reign, Jesus, reign. King of Zion, Judah's Zion, reign, Jesus, reign. Can you surrender to the Lord with your hands lifted to Him? Reign, reign. Jesus, reign. Make it your prayer to Him. Reign. Jesus, reign. He's the King of Zion. Of Zion. Judah's Lion. Reign. Jesus, reign.
Yes, you are. You are Yahweh, Alpha and Omega. You are Yahweh, Alpha and Omega.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Thank you, Jesus, and in your mighty name have we prayed, and let everybody say, amen. Amen. Give Jesus glory. Sat down before I said you should sit down. Oh, don't do that. You may be seated in heavenly places. All right. Amen and amen. It's good to see all of you, and I want to welcome you to service here at the Restoration Center of the Shepherd's Fold Restoration Family. Thank you very much for being in church, and I want to thank everybody who's joined us virtually also. We are honored to have you, and we trust that you'll be blessed today at the preaching of the Word of God. Hallelujah. As you are aware, this month is our month of outreach and fruitfulness. And we are trusting and believing God to use us to reach out to a lot of souls, and then also to be fruitful in the knowledge and in the service of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Have you noticed that in this church we do not have an outreach department? Has anybody noticed? Why? Why don't we have an outreach department? Say that again. Because everyone is supposed to be involved in outreach and in evangelism. And when you create a special department for it, it gives the wrong notion and impression that only a few zealous, very spiritual, very matured Christians and believers are supposed to do outreach and evangelism. It is not like that at all. Amen. It is for every single believer, and it is for every child of God. And you know, when we take a close look at the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the things we notice is that reaching out to the lost is something that is very dear to the heart of God. If you ask me what God's heartbeat is, probably one of the answers that I'll tell you is saving the lost. Because it's something that is very dear to him. And it is something that really, really moves God. All right? And, you know, it's interesting, but when even one soul is won, there is an uproar and there is rejoicing in heaven over just one soul. Look at Luke chapter 15, reading from verse 3. Luke 15, reading from verse number 3. It says, so Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. Now look at what it says. In the same way, there is much joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. It sounds fantastic, but this is the word of God. That the effect of one soul being won is that there is great rejoicing in all of heaven. It continues and says, or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she will call in her friends and neighbors and say, rejoice with me because I have found my lost coin. In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. Hallelujah. And this month, I want you and I to join together to bring about a lot of joy in heaven as we press on in this month of outreach and fruitfulness and do what we can by the grace of God and by the help of the Holy Spirit to win and establish some more souls in the house of the Lord. Can I hear a loud amen to that? Amen. All right. And today, I'm going to share with you a story that has to do with outreach and fruitfulness. It is the story of an ordinary woman. A woman who had issues. She had a lot of challenges, I perceive. But amazingly, God used this woman to save virtually her entire village. And I believe that it is a story that has a lot of interesting lessons for you and I, which are lessons that will guide us in our month of outreach and fruitfulness. And there is a central message in this story, which is that no matter who you are, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you are going through, God is able to use you for his glory and for his honor. And God is able to use you to affect some lives out there. Can somebody say an amen to that? If we are open and if we are willing, there is no extent that God will not take us to use us to change some lives out there. May you be that vessel that God is going to use in this season, in the mighty name of Jesus. So I'm sharing with you on outreach and evangelism, and the subtitle is, outreach and fruitfulness, and the subtitle is The Woman Who Won Her Village. The Woman Who Won Her Village. Into brackets you can put, come and see. Now that expression, come and see, always sends my mind back to some time ago when I was on missions in a town somewhere. I lived very close to a church. I think it was a Royal House Chapel church. And virtually every day, the praise leader will lift up this song. Come and see, oh, come and see. Come and see, oh, come and see. Come and see what the Lord has done. 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 Every Sunday, we were being summoned to come and see. So you can have that as an additional part of the title. I'm sharing again with you on outreach and fruitfulness. The woman who won her village, come and see. Will you please turn your Bibles with me to the gospel according to Saint John. And ladies and gentlemen, we are reading a long passage, but nobody should be disturbed by it. John chapter 4. We are reading from verse 1 and guess what? To verse 42. Yes, please. I read. Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John. Though Jesus himself didn't baptize them, his disciples did. So he left Judea and returned to Galilee. And I'd like you to underline this statement in your Bible. He had to go through Samaria on the way. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar. near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Now, underline noontime. Underline that also. Noontime. So Jesus had traveled for a while. He didn't have a car. He didn't have a horse. He didn't own a donkey. And in those days, they trekked wherever they had to go. They would walk for miles. And he was tired. Now, this is a verse, one of the verses that supports the truth that Jesus was both divinity and humanity. He was both God and man. And when he came to this earth and took our shape and form, it was as an ordinary man. He didn't lose his divinity when he became a man. Because of that, he experienced many of the things that we go through. He could get tired. He could get hungry. He could get sad and sorrowful. All right? So understand that Jesus was both God and man. Next verse. Soon, a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. And she said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Now you can pause here and let me explain to you that there was a long-standing hostility between the Jews and the Samaritans. The Samaritans were half-breeds. Half of them was Jewish, and the other half was from some of the neighboring communities around. And because of that, the original or the real or the full Jews had very little respect for them. They treated them as the scum of the earth. And the Samaritans also found the Jews, the pure Jews, as very arrogant, very proud, and very, very some way. So they had very little interaction. So the reason for the woman's surprise was that she could see that Jesus was a Jew. How could she tell? Two possible answers. Number one, from his accent and from his tonation, because original Jews spoke in a certain way. And then because the Samaritans were half-breeds, their accent wasn't pure. All right? So, you see, when you go somewhere and you speak your English, people can tell that you are either from Ghana or from Nigeria because you speak with a certain accent. I think that the most pathetic one are those who try to slang to cover up, but it doesn't work because so be true to who you are. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, stop impressing anybody and be yourself now. Hallelujah. The other way by which she could tell that Jesus was a Jew was from his dressing also, because Jews dressed in a certain way. So she could tell that he was a Jew, and she was surprised that he would even engage her because of that long-standing feud between the Jews and the Samaritans. Alrighto. So next verse. And Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I will give you living water." Verse 11. "But say, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water?" So she was speaking from a logical perspective. Next verse. "And besides," so this is somebody who is ready to quarrel, "do you think you are greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" 13. Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. it becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Let me say this to you before I continue. Let me tell you, my friend, anything that you try to fill your life with apart from Jesus will never bring you the satisfaction and the fulfillment that you are looking for in this life. And I think it's so important a point that I need to emphasize it again. Anything or anybody that you try to fill your life with and focus your energies and your attention on, anybody that you try to do that with will never bring you the fulfillment and the satisfaction that you are looking for in life. Everything will leave you empty and dry except God alone. Try and fill it with money. You will discover that even though the scripture says money answereth all things, the truth really is that there are certain things that money cannot answer. So you live in envy of people who have more money than they can spend, thinking that they have a very good, satisfied life. But sometimes you have to get close to them. Some of the most miserable people in this life are people who have more money than they can spend in a lifetime. It is difficult to believe it because we know of the power of money. And you think that that is what will solve all your problems. But I tell you that everything will leave you dry and empty. Try and fill that emptiness inside you with pleasure. At a point you get tired of it. And all these things that I'm saying, King Solomon tried them all. The wisdom that God gave to him, he used the wisdom to do experiments. He tried money, he tried riches, he tried pleasure, he tried women, he tried marriage, he tried work, he tried everything. You think that you find fulfillment by spending a lot of your life going to school? After school, the man, you haven't finished. Now you are about 65 years, you are still going to school. Only Jesus can satisfy. I think there's a song like that. Jesus, I am thirsty. Won't you come and fill me? 'Cause earthly things have left me dry, and only you can satisfy. And all I want is more of you. Then he says, all I want is more of you. And all I want is more of you. Nothing I desire, Lord, but more of you. More of you. At least things, eh? They will just leave you dry. And this was what Jesus was pointing out to the lady. In essence, he was telling her that you are trying to fill your life with all kinds of things. But I want you to understand that I am the only one who can quench that thirst, that hunger, that emptiness inside you. And nothing else can be able to take it away. I pray that all of us will come to that understanding and revelation in our Christian walk. Perhaps you are here, somebody invited you to church today. And what I'm saying is something that God wants you to hear and hear well. That none of the things you're trying to fill your life with and satisfy yourself with will bring you peace, will bring you joy, will bring you satisfaction. That emptiness of your life, only Jesus can fill it adequately enough and bring you peace and bring you joy and bring you satisfaction and bring you fulfillment. Can I have an amen from Jesus? Verse 15. Now the woman was hooked. She was fascinated because she was tired of having to travel all that way to fetch water. And let me also touch on, you know, I asked you to underline noontime. Two things are worth commenting on in relation to that. This woman went to the well to fetch water at noontime. Now, the thing is that according to Jewish customs and tradition, people do not go to fetch water in the heat of the day because noontime was when it was hottest. Usually, they will go soon after sunrise or go late in the afternoon when the temperature is lower and the weather is cooler. That's when they used to go to fetch water. But this woman went to the well at noontime. Strange. Then another thing that is strange about her is that she came alone. It was not normal. It was not usual. Because in their time, and according to their, when they are going to fetch water, they go as a group so that they can chat and gossip and do the things women like to do. So they will go as a group. So it was very unusual that she arrived at the well, number one, at noontime, and number two, she arrived alone. And as the story continues, you will discover that there were some issues with her. So now that Jesus told her that I can give you water, when I give you my water, you will never thirst again. She said, "Sir, please give me this water. Why? Then I will never be thirsty again and I won't have to come here to get water." And then now the conversation changed. Jesus' response to her was, "Go and get your husband." That's what Jesus said to her. "Go and get your husband." So now the conversation changed. Verse 17. "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. And Jesus said, "You are right. You don't have a husband." Verse 18. "For you have had 5 husbands. And you aren't even married to the man you are living with now. You certainly spoke the truth." "Sir," the woman said, "you must be a prophet." Now, this is one of the examples of Jesus exercising the gift of word of knowledge. All right? The gift of word of knowledge is where the Spirit of God reveals information about somebody to you. And I want to say to you that the purpose of that gift is not to create problems and to create fear and panic and to mess people's lives up. The purpose of this gift, as it is for every other gift of the Spirit, is to draw people to God. It's to show the power of God, and it is to draw people to God. It is not to create fear and panic, and it is not to embarrass people and mess their lives up. You will notice that prophets who are experienced, who exercise this gift of the word of knowledge, if there is anything sensitive concerning anybody that God reveals to them, they are careful to tell the person in private. Even if it is in a service, they will take the microphone away and then say what they have to say into the person's ears, and then continue with the ministration. But those who don't really understand the essence of the gifts that God has given to them, they operate it blankly, and they end up messing up people's lives. And God doesn't do that. The gift may be from God, but the exercise is not being guided by the wisdom that is supposed to guide it. And here, the word of knowledge that Jesus operated in was to get the woman's attention so that he can proceed from there and tell her something that will change her life. So the woman was shocked. She was amazed. And in that word of knowledge, we have an idea. We get a glimpse of what type of person she was. We can safely guess that this was somebody who was looking for happiness and fulfillment through marriage. She had married once, it didn't work. Twice, it didn't work. Three times, it didn't work. Four times, it didn't work. Five times, it didn't work. And she is making her sixth attempt. And this time, the man that she was with was not her husband. And so it paints a picture of somebody who is looking for something. Somebody who is looking for something to bring her satisfaction and fulfillment. And she wasn't getting it. And perhaps there were stories about her in her village, which may explain why in going to the well at noontime to fetch water, she was alone. Perhaps none of the other ladies in town wanted to associate with her. Maybe they said, this girl, if you flow with her, she'll steal your husband. One time, one touch. You know, and I can imagine the stories and the allegations and all sorts of things about this woman. So she isolated herself and kept to herself, and will not fraternize much with anybody else. She will only go to the well when she's certain that there are not going to be a lot of people there, that there isn't going to be anybody there. So it's a picture of somebody who looks to me lost, looking for something that she cannot find. And now she's shocked that a stranger, somebody she had never met before, could tell her what he did. But I think it was beginning to get uncomfortable, so she changed the topic. And so now she started, she moved into a discussion about worship and where to worship. She says, so tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worshipped? 21. Jesus replied, believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. Next verse. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. What Jesus meant here was that the whole salvation plan came through the Jews. He himself, Jesus, the Messiah, he came through the Jews. So obviously the Jews knew a lot more based on the prophecies that had come about the Messiah and God's redemption plan. Next verse. But the time is coming, indeed it is here now, when true worshipers, that means genuine worshipers, real worshipers, will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. To worship God in spirit means to worship him with everything that is within you. To worship him with your mind. To worship him with your intellect. To worship him with your emotions. To worship him with your feelings. To worship him with your strength. To worship him with everything. That is what it means to worship God in spirit. And then he says, we'll also worship him in truth. In truth means based on the truth that there is about God. Not based on rituals. Not based on ceremonies. Not based on festivals and events. Not based on fallacies. Not based on myths. But based on the truth about God. And Jesus prophesied that that time was going to come when now the Father will be worshipped. People will not have to travel to Jerusalem or wherever to worship. You don't have to bring a cow. You don't have to bring a goat. You don't have to bring a turtle dove. But you come and you worship him from the depth of your being, and you worship him in spirit and in truth. Which presupposes that if you're not born again, it will be difficult for you to worship God in spirit and in truth. Because true worship comes from deep within and must affect every other part of your being. Can I have an amen from somebody? Next verse. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. 25. Now the woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he would explain everything to us. So she knew that there was a Messiah coming, and she was interested in that. Then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah, the one you are looking for, the one you are yearning for, the one you are waiting for. I am the one. Next verse. And it's obvious that she believed. Just then his disciples came back, and they were shocked to find him talking to a woman. But none of them had the nerve to ask, what do you want with her? Or why are you talking to her? Again, let me explain to you that if you were a rabbi, all right, a teacher, so like a religious leader, it was not permitted for you to talk to a woman in public. You can't even talk to your wife, your daughter, your sister, your auntie, your niece in public. You can't do that. It was against the law. So the reason for their shock was to come back and see that Jesus was conversing with a woman. They were shocked, but they couldn't ask him anything. It continues. Now, the woman left her water jar. Underline that phrase, left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village telling everyone. You can see that she believed that Jesus was the Messiah. And then the next verse, come and see. That's what she said to them. Come and see. Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? Now, there are two possibilities here that she may have exaggerated. Or, actually, Jesus told her a lot more than was recorded. As it stands now, we don't have enough information to conclude on which one it was. But she said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Verse 30. So the people came streaming from the village to see him. 31. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, Rabbi, eat something. 32. But Jesus replied, I have a kind of food you know nothing about. 33. Did someone bring him food while we were gone? The disciples asked each other. 34. Then Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a place that all of us must get to in our Christian experience, where what gives us the greatest satisfaction and fulfillment is Christ, pursuing his will for our lives and doing his work. It is a level in the Christian experience. And Jesus was explaining to the people, to the disciples, of course, that what fills me, what satisfies me, what nourishes me, what fulfills me is not physical food. It's not earthly things. It is just pursuing the will of my Father and carrying out every work and every assignment that is given to me. And that's a very high level in the Christian race. And I pray that each and every one of us will get there one day. Lift up your hand and say, I will be there by the grace of God. Verse 35, you know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. Jesus was not talking about the cornfields. He was not talking about wheat fields. He was talking about the field of souls, the field of people who are not saved. And was explaining that a lot of people are waiting to be saved. The problem is not that people do not want to be saved. The problem is that there are not a lot of workers in the field. And you and I, who are supposed to be working in the field of souls, are refusing to work. have ignored the master's command and we are doing our own thing, pursuing our own agenda. So the fields are ready and ripe for the harvest, but the people are not saved. Because those who are supposed to work and labor in the harvest field, in the field of souls, have abandoned their call and their mandate. Put your hand on your head and say, Father, have mercy on me. Father, forgive me. Hallelujah. Next verse. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike. 37. You know the saying, one plants and another harvests, and it is true. 38. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others had already done the work, and now you will get to gather the harvest. All right. Now, to comment also about that, I've explained to you that Jesus was talking about the field of souls, and then he talked about the planters and the harvesters. I need to get you to understand that for people to be saved, somebody has to plant the seed of God's word. That is the planter. In some instances, that seed that is planted bears fruit almost instantly. So then the planter now becomes a harvester or a reaper. You planted the seed of God's word. The person responded, has given his life to Christ. So you became both planter and reaper. But you must also understand about the salvation experience that sometimes when you plant the seed of God's word, people will not respond to you. It may take another person who would have to water the seed. And perhaps that person would then become the reaper or the harvester at the end of the day. So there's always the planter and there's always the reaper where the salvation experience is concerned. And I've said this to you to explain to you that don't be worried and don't be sad when you plant the seed of God's word and you don't see the expected results. Your duty is to plant. In some cases, your duty is to water. But ultimately, the increase comes from God. And this is a point that you must grasp. Because the reason why sometimes people are not interested in reaching out to the lost is because they don't see the results that they expect to see. They receive rejection. People turn their backs on them. People reject them. People don't accept what they are saying. And it leaves you with a certain bad feeling. But you must understand that you cannot save anybody. It is God who does the saving. It's the Spirit of God who does the saving. Our duty is to plant. Our duty is to water. But it is God who will bring the increase. So from today, don't feel that you have failed. If you speak to somebody about Jesus and there's no response. Or you invite somebody to church and they give you a bad response. You have done your duty. And whatever is left, leave it to God. Hallelujah. We got to finish. Many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, he told me everything I ever did. When they came out to him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed for 2 days. Long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. The last verse. Then they said to the woman, now we believe. Not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world. Put your hands together for Jesus. And now I bring my sermon to a close. This is a story, like I said, of outreach and fruitfulness. It's a story of how, to remind you again of what I said at the beginning, a woman, an ordinary woman, who had issues, who had challenges, who had difficulties, who had things she was battling with, whom God used to save virtually her entire village. Now, from this encounter, there are just 3 things that I would like to draw your attention to and then we close. Number one, outreach and fruitfulness begins with intentionality. Outreach and fruitfulness begin with intentionality. You must be intentional if you are serious about outreach and fruitfulness. Now, why am I saying this? You see, Jesus passing through Samaria and his encounter with the Samaritan woman was not an accident. It was not coincidence. It was according to a divine plan and purpose of God. The Bible says that he needed to go through Samaria. Now, he was on his way to Galilee, and going through Samaria was going to shorten his journey by 3 days. True. But beyond that, there was a divine plan to save that village. And that plan required that on his way to Galilee, Jesus should pass through Samaria. So he passed through Samaria, and it was intentional. Everybody say, it was intentional. He had a divine assignment. He had to meet this woman so that through her, her village could be saved. It's not an accident. And what he did was intentional. It meant going against a certain set order. He would have to talk to a Samaritan. He would have to relate with a woman for that matter. But, and you know, his encounter with the woman could have created a scandal for him. I mean, if she had such a bad reputation, you can imagine what people would say when they come to meet Jesus interacting with her. Say that you are not a proper man of God to be interacting with somebody like that. But Jesus set all those things aside, and he intentionally interacted with the woman because there was an agenda that had to be met. Hallelujah. Say again with me, it was intentional. And ladies and gentlemen, outreach and fruitfulness begin with intentionality. You have to intentionally look for people that you want to reach out to. And if we stay in our comfort zone, we will never see any results in our outreach and in our evangelism. And we will never be fruitful. And I'm saying to you that there are people that we must intentionally reach out to in our neighborhoods, in our communities, at our workplace, in our schools, in our campuses, at the marketplace. We must intentionally reach out to people, because without that intentionality, we will not be effective in outreach and fruitfulness. Hallelujah. And you know, the intentionality must be such that you need to actually pray and ask God to speak to you and reveal to you certain people that you should approach. There are some people that you must intentionally add to your prayer list and start praying for them. There are people that you have to start interceding for intentionally. Because to reach them for Jesus and to win them for the Lord, there must be that intentionality about it. And some of these people that you are going to reach out to, they may be people that others will avoid. Like this Samaritan woman that everybody wanted to avoid. But I want you to understand that every single soul matters to the Lord. And if you ever come into contact with somebody who has a bad reputation, people talk a lot about the person, people don't like that person, understand that God is interested in all such people. And we must intentionally reach out to people that others avoid, because the Lord loves them and the Lord wants to make a difference in their lives. Amen. The second thing we learn from this story, that no one truly encounters Jesus and remains silent. No one truly encounters Jesus and remains silent. And in John 4, 28 to 30, the woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, come. come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see him. Jesus speaks to the woman, reveals her life to her, gives her a word of knowledge, offers her living water. Then he reveals himself as the Messiah, and the woman believes. And understand that believing is what saves you. Because the Bible says, by grace are we saved through faith. She believed. But it did not just end there. Suddenly, somebody was withdrawn. Somebody who had isolated herself. Somebody who carried some shame was filled with boldness and conviction and excitement. And she ran back to her village to tell them about this Messiah that she had met. What that tells me, ladies and gentlemen, is that the experience that she had with Jesus was real and was genuine. And that experience was so real that it changed her. It made her come out of her shell. And she could not keep it to herself any longer. She could not stay silent. She decided that others must hear about it. And that is why I'm explaining to you that if you've had a real encounter with Jesus, you cannot stay silent forever. You will talk about it. You will talk about him. You will share the good news about Jesus. You will tell somebody about Jesus and what he has done in your life. Now, this woman, it was soon after she believed. She didn't go to Bible school. She didn't go to get a certificate in theology. She didn't go through the Christian foundation class, which is important. She didn't go through the Christian maturity class, which is important. But the encounter and the experience was so real that she could not keep it to herself. She could not stay silent. She had to tell others about it. And because she didn't keep it to herself, because she didn't stay silent, virtually her entire village was saved. May I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, that for us to be effective in outreach and fruitfulness, we cannot afford to remain silent. Because we are saved. True, can you sing that song for me? We are saved. We are. Have you received Jesus as Lord and Savior? I'm asking a question. It's not rhetoric. Have you received Jesus as Lord and Savior? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Have you confessed him as Lord and Savior? Have you invited him to take control of your life and your heart? Then, ladies and gentlemen, you have encountered him. Once you've encountered him, you cannot keep it to yourself any longer. Testimony. He's told me everything I ever did. I think that I have met the Messiah. Come and see also. Come and experience him. And through that step, a lot of lives were saved. And if we are going to be effective in our outreach and evangelism and in our attempt to be fruitful, we cannot remain silent anymore. We got to tell people that Jesus saves. And we got to share the good news everywhere. And you don't need a microphone. You don't need a PA system to be able to do outreach and disciple people. All you need is a personal encounter. And that encounter can be the salvation encounter, or it can be an encounter that you had after you got saved. But whatever it is, all the encounters that you've received can become the channel by which you can share the good news of Jesus with somebody, and that person can be saved. So for us to go through this month of outreach and fruitfulness, we must understand that no one truly encounters Jesus and remains silent. And the last point, outreach and fruitfulness require leaving something behind. Outreach and fruitfulness require leaving something behind. And again in John 4, 28 to 30, the woman left her water jar beside the well. She left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, come and see. You know, the Bible could just have said that she ran back to the village without making reference to her water jar. There is no detail in the Bible that is insignificant. And the Bible says that the woman left her water jar. She probably left her water jar because she felt it would slow her down. She felt that she would not be able to move fast enough if she went with the water jar. So she just left it there. And ladies and gentlemen, all of us have water jars that we must leave if we are going to be effective in outreach and fruitfulness. I'm talking about water jars like the busyness of life. The reason why we don't do much for the Lord is that we are too busy. It's a water jar. Until we leave it, we cannot be effective in outreach and in being fruitful for the Lord. For some of us, the water jar is fear. Fear of rejection. Fear of being insulted. Fear of being persecuted. And because of that, we don't carry out that assignment that God has given to us. We got to leave that water jar. For some of us, the water jar is the weight of our past mistakes. You messed up. You got it wrong. You've done all kinds of crazy things. And you feel that those things do not qualify you to tell anybody about Jesus. But ladies and gentlemen, you can leave that water jar behind because God is still interested in using you. For some, your water jar is the trap of your comfort zone. You're too comfortable. You're too comfortable and you don't want anything to disturb that comfort. You don't want to get unnecessary attention. You don't want to do anything that will bring any disturbance to your life. You are too comfortable. And so because of that, you are not of much use to the Lord. These are water jars that we must leave behind if we are going to be effective in outreach and in fruitfulness. There are things that we are holding on to, and that is why God cannot use us much. But today God is saying to us, in this month of outreach and fruitfulness, leave your water jars behind. God is saying to us, in this month of outreach and fruitfulness, let us be intentional in our planning and in our purpose to be used of God in this month. God is telling us in this month of outreach and fruitfulness that we should not be silent, because if we've encountered Jesus, we have what it takes to share the good news about Him everywhere we go. Today, I have come with this message to us to encourage us that out there are people waiting for you and waiting for I. People are waiting for us to get close to them and to tell them about Jesus. There are people that you know, people that are around you. You work with them. They are your mates. You live with them. They are family members. They are friends. They are going through all sorts of things. And if only you will intentionally open your mouth and tell them about your encounter with Jesus, and tell them about how Jesus can make their lives better. If only you will invite them to church, when they come, they will be saved. Because Jesus said the harvest is ripe and ready. But the problem is that the laborers are not working in the harvest field. How tragic it is to have church members gather in churches Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. We come to enjoy the service. We come to enjoy the worship. We come to enjoy the choir ministration. We come to enjoy the word of God. But the main reason why the Lord saved us is not being carried out. And that is the story of many a Christian. That is the story of many of us seated here. It is almost like you are of very little use to the one who gave his life for you. But today God is speaking to us. And I believe that if we take this word and we run with it, God will use us as instruments and vessels to change some lives out there. It may just be one person that you affect, but understand that the salvation of that person will stir up a lot of joy and jubilation in heaven, because that is how valuable one soul is. Today, I charge you that decide that if all through the first 2 weeks of this month of outreach and evangelism, you have not participated in any way at all, this week and the coming week, resolve that I'm going to be intentional about it. Resolve that I'm not going to stay silent. Resolve that I'm going to drop my water jar, anything that holds me back, anything that stops me from telling people about Jesus. I'm going to put that thing away, and I'm going to be of use to the master. You say, Pastor, I'm not a perfect vessel. But this woman we read about was not perfect either. And God, as has been said, is not looking for perfect vessels. He's looking for available vessels. If you are very thirsty and somebody gives you water in a container that does not even look clean, you will drink it. You will drink it because your need is great. Sometimes we feel that we have to be perfect, and we need to have grown to a certain level in the Christian faith before God can use us. Sometimes we feel that we have too many issues, too many problems, and God cannot use people like that. People will not be interested in our message. But again, I want to say to you, if you have fallen into a well or a pit and you can't climb out and you are screaming for help, and then suddenly somebody drops a rope down, then you look up. Who is it? It is the madman from your village. Would you say that because it is the madman, I'm not sure of his intention, so I'm not going to take hold of the rope? You ain't gonna do that. You will hold on to it with a lot of hope, believing that during that moment his mind will work well. Hallelujah. I've said this to explain to you that when people are in trouble or in crisis and they need help, it doesn't really matter much to them where the help is coming. So don't wait till you have become a correcto perfecto person where all your problems have been solved before you reach out to people there. As you are, whoever you are, however you are, whatever it is with you, God is able to use you to reach out to others. May we answer heaven's call, and this month reach out to more people. And next Sunday, which is our extraordinary outreach Sunday, I want to see a better response from us than I have seen so far. May the Lord give us more understanding concerning his word. Put your hands together for Jesus and rise to your feet as we close. Just pray for yourself a minute or two. Pray then say that, Father, help me to be intentional about outreach and fruitfulness. Help me to have my mind on it. help me to decide deep within myself that I'm not going to stay back any longer. I'm not going to be silent anymore. I'm going to put my water jars aside and I'm going to reach out to the lost out there. Pray that the Holy Spirit will work on you and that something will change in you today. In the name of Jesus, speak to the Lord for a few seconds as we round up today's service. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Touch your people, oh God, and stir up something in our hearts. We are so selfish, so self-centered, so focused on ourselves and what benefits us, what pleases us, what makes us happy. And we don't think much about what makes you happy. But we pray, Father, let there be a paradigm shift in all of us. Let our focus change. Let what is important to us change from this day. In the mighty name of Jesus, help us to be intentional in our drive and effort to save some soul out there, to be the vessel that you will use to save some soul out there and to bring somebody to Christ. Pray, oh God, that anything that hinders us and limits us, may we be able to drop it today by the power of the Holy Spirit. I give you praise and I give you glory in Jesus' mighty name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Somebody invited you to church today, or perhaps you're watching us. I may not even know you, and I cannot see you. But I want you to understand that it's not by accident that you came to church today. Neither is it by accident that you're watching this clip at this time. Maybe you're part of the live streaming, or you stumbled upon this clip later on. But God is trying to get your attention. He loves you, and He wants to make your life better. He recognizes that there are things you are pursuing that have only left you dry. And He's assuring you today that only He can satisfy you and take away that pain, that sorrow, that anguish that you've been carrying all this while. You are looking for meaning and purpose to life. You can only find it in Christ Jesus. And this morning, I present Jesus to you. And as every head is bowed and every eye closed, you want to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Whether you're physically present here or you're watching online, as every head is bowed and every eye closed, I want you to lift up your hand where you are, and I'm going to pray for you that Jesus will become Lord of your life. Lift it up very clearly where you are so I can see. God bless you. I see your hand. Don't worry about anybody standing by. It's a matter between you and your God. What anybody thinks is immaterial. Just focus on God and the fact that He loves you. God bless you. And if you've lifted up your hand, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And this includes everyone who is watching. Wherever you are convinced to give your heart to Jesus. Let's all join in this prayer. Say, Dear Lord Jesus. Say it again with me. Dear Lord Jesus, this morning I come to you just as I am. Oh God, please forgive me for all my sins. Please wash me with the blood of Jesus. From today, I am yours and you are mine. I give you my heart. I give you my life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. In response, I yield my life to Him. And for the rest of my life, I will serve Him. I will follow Him. I will live for Him. Oh God, please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Father, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.